Today, our readings have more than a hint of themes and tone of the approaching season of Advent. 3 weeks from today, we will once again sing, "Lo, He Comes on Clouds Descending," which to me is the quintessential Advent hymn. And for that very reason, I was hesitant to schedule that hymn for today's processional, but it fits so perfectly with the theme that runs through all of our readings today. We are waiting for the day of the Lord. We have images of wise and foolish bridesmaids. There's Paul's assurances of the faithful in Thessalonica. And then there is the dialogue between Amos and God, all of which are pointing to something for which we wait. The day of the Lord. Why do we want the day of the Lord? The reading from Amos is especially challenging. Amos begins with a note of mourning, using a word that is associated with grieving for the dead. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light." The prophet Amos seems to suggest that those to whom he is speaking are already dead or dying, spiritually at least, if not physically. Amos speaks about the darkness that descends upon those who have become complacent in just going through the motions of their worship without considering what it means to be intimately connected with God. And then God speaks in the first person, saying, I despise the emptiness of worship offered out of obligation, without life giving attention to justice and righteousness. God is condemning empty ritual, not because ritual is in itself without purpose or merit, but because when worship is lacking a passion for justice, righteousness, mercy, and love, it isn't about God. God forms communities of worship to glorify God's own nature, love, justice, mercy. We are meant to gather in adoration of the source of all justice and righteousness. In the absence of a clear commitment to those virtues that exemplify God's love, our relationship with God is stunted at best. Amos describes so vividly the world that results from neglect of those virtues of justice and mercy and love. He says, "It," meaning the day of the Lord, "is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake." Doesn't that sound a lot like hearing or reading the news each day in this year of our Lord 2017? I read this passage from Amos within hours of hearing the horrific attack on the Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church in Texas last Sunday. I've been haunted by the image of escaping the daily assaults on our spirits that come through that relentless grind of hostility and opposition that characterizes life in our times. Then going into that place that is meant to be sanctuary, a haven from all of that. And to be struck down in that place, in the midst of a community of faith. I can understand how the prophet comes to the point of seeing darkness everywhere. And I can understand the instinct to focus on security in the wake of such a terrible event. We've been working on an emergency response and safety plan for Holy Trinity for some weeks, even before all of this happened. Your wardens, your vestry, and I take very seriously the responsibility to assess and strengthen our ability to respond to any emergency situation. We're working on ways to partner with other downtown churches to develop best practices and to support each congregation's efforts to remain open and welcome and as safe as possible. I read an article in the Baptist News yesterday written by Benjamin Boswell, the senior minister of Myers Park Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Boswell writes, "Let's discuss true security. True security is a world without automatic weapons. True security is a world without domestic violence. True security is a world without toxic masculinity and patriarchy. True security is a world without hatred, dehumanization, and oppression. True security is a world without economic disparity. True security is a world where the poor and the hungry are given jobs with fair wages. True security is a world where people are engaged in active peace. Active peace instead of negligent violence. In other words, true security is a world in which justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We are here in church today because we are waiting for that day when our deeply wailing is turned to alleluias with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet. It hasn't happened yet. We don't know when it will. But we've been given oil and lamps for lighting the way until the bridegroom comes. The oil of righteousness, justice, peace, love, and hope. Those are the things that bring true security. As we move through the last teaching chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the next 2 weeks, Jesus will have a lot to say about how we wait for his return. Waiting for that kingdom day will be dark indeed if we neglect those virtues of justice, righteousness, mercy, peace, love, hope. We're here to brighten the darkness with our lamps and with our oil. We are here to bring hope in the midst of fear and uncertainty and anxiety. Please pray with me this prayer that I found this morning as I was trying to find a way to finish in lightness instead of darkness. God of oil and light, of banquets and justice, we come to you now with our hearts full with what is fractured and frayed in our world. We live in a time of polarities, who is in and who is out, who's right, who's wrong. Those who are empty and those who are full, of those who are ready and those who are not, of hearts that are hard, hearts that are broken, as we await the day of your coming with hope. Help us to find another way to live as your church and your disciples, where justice rolls down like waters and goodness flows in everlasting streams, where doors are not shut to those who call out, where oil is shared even though there might not be enough for the long, dark night. And we share because we have faith and we have hope. Amen.